I do have one announcement I failed to mention. Miss Vicky, I'm going to let y'all know, if y'all did bring her some food or your dishes were used, deliver that food. It is in the fellowship hall, and you can grab that this evening. But again, she wants to just, y'all know how thankful she is for y'all and all that you've done for her. This evening, I'm so thankful for all of our young men and those who have not yet led us in worship, but will momentarily, for their desire to do so and the example they set for us, for their dedication and their devotion to be servants and to also be leaders of our worship here. And what a wonderful thing it is to be able to see what a wonderful example they and all of our youth here set daily as they live their lives dedicated to God and His glory. This time of year in the holiday season, there's going to be a lot of different times. We're going to go places. We're going to invite people to come and visit us. And the reason being is there's so much comfort that you have in a visit. Whether you are going to see somebody you haven't seen in a while, or you're inviting them to come inside your home, and you have that time that you can have together, you share this time, you make memories together, you have a meal, and you get to just be with one another. Those that you love, those that you care about and want to see succeed, you have the time to visit and catch up, and above all, you're just able to be around those who mean so much to you. And those who are hosting people, me and Mallory are pretty thankful. We're not at the hosting stage of our life yet. We just get to go. And so all the food's already there. We just show up, and we're ready to visit and so forth. But those of you who are hosting, your invitations have been sent out by this point. You're trying to plan, make everything work with all your different family things going on, because you want nothing more than be able to spend time with those that you love. On the flip side of that, we also love to receive an invitation, don't we? Know that somebody cares enough for us, that somebody thinks enough about us, that want us to be a part of their special time together, sharing in who they are, what they are, and everything that they live their lives for. We think about our own lives tonight. Those of us who are Christians, there's nothing more important for us to be able to share with those in the love and the glory and the mercy of Christ through our lives, through how we talk to the people, through how we treat people, through how we look into the world, seeing those who need help and whatever it might be, and we live our lives exemplifying through our actions the Lord and the God who's done everything for us through His Son, Jesus. And we want to share the good news, don't we? The fact that Jesus Christ died for me, died for all of us, so that all of us can have our lives free from the burden of our sin, that all of us can rest our head on our pillows tonight in the hope and the joy of our calling, knowing that to live in this life is Christ, but to die in this life is gain. And we share that hope with those that we invite into our life. We also share our hope with those as we go into this world, as the Bible commands us. So we understand that we have two goals when it comes to us sharing the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, with those in this world. First off, we invite those because we want them to know where our joy comes from, and we want to share our joy with them. And on the flip side of that, we also go into this world because right now there are those who are seeking, there are those who are waiting to know that they truly have hope, and they can have joy made possible through the only true source of that, Jesus Christ, God the Son, who came into this world and who died on Calvary to take their sins away through their salvation. In Acts chapter 10, we are introduced to Cornelius. The majority of our study tonight will take place there in Acts chapter 10. And also, if you want to go ahead and mark it in Joshua chapter 2, we'll be there for our study tonight. But in Acts chapter 10, we are introduced for the first time, he's only mentioned in this chapter, to Cornelius the centurion. The Bible introduces him in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 2, where the Bible says, "Now there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually." And so we see here from this short introduction of Cornelius, first off, he was devout. And second off, the Bible tells us that he feared God, not only himself, but also his entire family. So you see the leadership role he is playing as the man of the household, teaching his family to fear God as he feared God. And this fear is not so much that you are terrified, it's that awe and wonder, that same awe and wonder we have today, of knowing that God, through everything that he is, can do anything he wants to. But because of everything that he is, he has decided to bless us and provide for us and sustain us. And we share in that awe and wonder that Cornelius would have felt towards God here. But while Cornelius loved God, the Bible tells us, and he was devout, there was a problem. At this point in his life, Cornelius had never heard the good news of Jesus. He didn't really have the true hope that we're able to have in the Christian age, knowing that the blood of Christ is able, through our obedience to God's plan of salvation, his blood is able to wash our sins that were once as scarlet, to make us to be able to be as white as snow. But then we see what happens to Cornelius going down to verses 3-5. And there the Bible says, about the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius. And fixing his gaze on him and being alarmed, he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some man to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. So here we see that God, knowing the heart, knowing the devotion of Cornelius, through his providence was creating a way, and through his will for his life, that way that for the first time ever, somebody can come through the threshold of Cornelius's home and tell him the good news of Jesus Christ. And we also see that Cornelius does exactly as he is told. He gets two men together that are servants and one soldier, three men in total. People, because of their position, Cornelius would have trusted, and he sends them to go find Simon Peter. But during this time, Cornelius could have just sat there. This was going to be days in between him sending the messengers and Peter coming to his home. He could have just sat there and waited. But that's not what a devout, God-fearing man would do. Instead, he sends his men, as he is told, and he begins to invite all of his family and friends to be there whenever Peter was going to come with good news. In the account of Jericho, we are told of Rahab, who hides the spies and saves their lives as they go for the nation of Israel to scout out the city of Jericho. And we see that after she hides them away, where they not be killed by the king of the city, she pleads with the spies. In Joshua chapter 2, verses 12-13, the Bible says, quoting Rahab, now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with my father's household, and give me a pledge of truth, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters with all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. And so you see here this fear, right? This awe and wonder of the God of Israel, the one true living God. And before these two verses, in verses 10-11, we see where Rahab's faith in God stems from. Because she says, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and to Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth below, or earth beneath. Rahab only knew of a victorious God who was fighting for his nation from the exodus of Egypt to fulfill his plan for them to receive the promised land. But she didn't know the full story of his glory, did she? All she knew, what she had heard that's taken place at this point decades beforehand, and she feared God with that awe and wonder because she knew through what God had done to the Israelite people that the God of Israel is the one true living God. And she also knew that that God was the only one who could spare her and her family for what was about to happen, the fall of Jericho and the death of the citizens therein. We see in verse 19 that the spies promise her, it shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. You think about what this means for us, knowing what can save those in this world from their spiritual death, their eternal death. And the fact that Rahab knows that whoever she can invite into her home, past the threshold of her door, that God in his love and his providence has guaranteed their safety through these two spies that make this promise.